हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासरि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे
Okay, so now we're discussing how the Lord's potency is non-different from himself. If someone claims the Lord is different from his potency, then I reply, no, it is not so, for they are not different. Okay. If someone claims that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the creator of the worlds, is different from his potency, then this sutra is spoken to refute him. Because the Supreme Personality of Godhead is not different from his many potencies. The potencies are not different from him. This is described in the following words of the Nyaya Shastra. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, the master of all potencies, is not different from his potencies. In the Svetasurtara Upanishad 6.8 it is said, the Lord's potencies of knowledge, power, and action share his own nature. They are not different from him. Just Vishnu Purana 1.22.53, it is said, just as the illumination of a fire which is situated in one place is spread all over, the energies of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Parabrahman, are spread all over the universe. In the Markandeya Purana, Devi Mahatmya, the sage, explains, O King, now I will describe to you the glories of the goddess. By her power she sustains the entire world. She is the potency of Lord Vishnu. From her comes transcendental knowledge. You and many others have obtained transcendental knowledge by her grace. In the Narada Pancharatra, second night, third chapter, Lord Shiva explains, the Supreme Lord is one, still he is manifested in two forms. One form is female, the potency of Lord Vishnu. The other form is male, the all-powerful Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. His form is dark, all his desires are once fulfilled. He has all transcendental virtues. He is free of the modes of material nature. Anyone who directly sees him will fall in love with him and yearn to enjoy charming pastimes with him. Okay. So that was the Pancharatra. So these elements are trying to establish that the non-difference between the Lord and his energy. There's a difference, but there's no difference. He's non-dual. In other words, you can tell the difference, but at the same time, as they're all part of the same, you can tell the difference between your hand and your head, but at the same time as one person. Does that make sense? So he is the basis, but his energies are naturally, you know, how he does everything. He is who he is because he has all potencies, right? So through the potencies, he does everything, like that. So this non-difference, also we see here is that one form is male, the other form is female. In other words, there's the energy and the energetic. And then through this, how do we say the, you know, how you say the what was that last verse he was using? Cleverness. Sweetest. Oh, playful, right? How does playful, unless there's two, right? So that means him and his energy. So this understanding of seeing everything as a combination between these two is very natural. Does that make sense? So philosophically, then this is Pancharatra. So Pancharatra is philosophy. So this philosophy then is being discussed, how you say? It's being discussed with between Shiva and Narad Muni. So this is Pancharatra. It says second night. So it's five nights that makes the Pancharatra. So this understanding, then, we see how the Lord, the position of the Lord, we see how the Lord interacts with the creation. And since everything is still working on this, the jiva, any action that's happening is still based on the same principle, right? This masculine and feminine principle. So the Lord's masculine aspect is interacting with the feminine, right? The jiva is simply able to perceive what is going on or take part in what's going on. He is not actually the cause of it. He is not the one that is actually making it happen. Does that make sense? On the level of actually what's going on. On the level of why it's going on, it's because the jiva wants to be involved in these kind of activities, therefore it's all being arranged so that they can take part, and then they feel that they are the doer. So in that way you say they're the doer, the Lord's not, because the Lord is just, his energies in that are just interacting with himself, him and himself. Right? Does that make sense? But the jiva wants to be part of that because he claims, I am the controller and enjoyer. Therefore, the result of it goes to him. Right? But the Lord and his energies interacting, what's the problem? You know what I'm saying? Krishna is dancing with the gopis, there's no problem. Somebody else decides they want to dance with the gopis, it's a problem. Right? It means it didn't really work for Dvidvita Gorilla, or it didn't really work for Shankachuda, right? They tried, but you know, it just didn't quite work. You know, the following the Nike principle did not do them any benefit, right? Like that. So we see his desires at once fulfilled, so that means the interaction, so that's done with the energy, so there's no non-difference there, right? But that non-difference is based on relationship. Okay, so then here in the Upanishad, so that's the point that's being made. This is an Upanishadic point. So that point that's being made then in the Ishupanishad then is brought out here. In his purport to Mantra 4, Srila Prabhupada explains that this non-difference should not be misunderstood. Quote, thus the different energies of the Lord are present everywhere. Although the Lord and his energies are non-different, one should not mistake these energies for the Supreme Truth. Nor should one wrongly consider that the Supreme Lord is distributed everywhere impersonally, or that he loses his personal existence. Men are accustomed to reaching conclusions according to their capacity for understanding. But the Supreme Lord is not subject to our limited capacity for understanding. It is for this reason that the Upanishads warn us that no one can approach the Lord by his own limited potency. Right, so that's very important, as we were discussing in the, that's backing what is being described by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur in the, means in those, religions based on faith, then we have those that are that which is constitutional and those that are conditional. Of those that are conditional, then you'll have the karma and the gyan, right? Because they're based on some faith in something. But the difficulty is in all these aspects of karma and gyan, this materialism, then actually it's considered atheistic. Why? Because it's based on the perception of the individual, right? Means Prabhupada uses here. Based on our limited capacity for understanding, or our own limited potency, right? So then what happens is that the living entity, then he perceives the everything according to his perception. So if you're not in line with the divine potency, means through the Lord's potencies, you can understand, just as you mentioned here. She is the potency of Lord Vishnu. From her comes transcendental knowledge. You and many others have obtained transcendental knowledge by her grace. Right? So now it's a matter of, did this transcendental knowledge come, you know, means knowledge about transcendence, from her in the mood of Maya, or from her in the mood of his internal potency, because it's one energy. So if it's the chit potency, then it's actual transcendental knowledge. That can take you back to Godhead. That will give real illumination. If not, you'll have transcendental knowledge. You'll understand Brahman. You'll understand how the soul is not the body. All these different things. You can come, basically speaking, to the liberated platform. But it can't be maintained. Why? Because it's not actually in touch with the chit potency. Because that's eternal. The other is manifest temporarily. So that means the living entities who are not in touch with the chit potency, means those who are not in touch with the internal potency from the parampara, their whole perception of religion and anything about them is simply according to their own ability. And therefore it is mundane. Therefore the term atheism or materialism can be very fittingly used. Does that make sense? So if we're distinguishing it from pure bhakti, then we will call it atheism, we will call it materialism. If we're discussing the principle of religion, religion comes from God, all these different things, we won't discuss it like that. We'll say that they're better than, because they're following religion given by God. Does that make sense? So we'll put them in the class of those who are faithful. Right? But just because they have faith doesn't mean that they're not materialistic. The faith is within their own perceptions. Does that make sense? So this concept, I will be, by following religion, I will be happy. But what's that happiness based on? Spiritual happiness? Knowledge of spiritual happiness? Perception of spiritual happiness? It'll be based on one's own material perception. So therefore, the happiness that you're expecting from religion is still material. Right? The jiva wants to extinguish his existence and taste the happiness of Brahmananda. But where does the concept of happiness come from? I have something I want, I get it, I'm happy. So you've attained Brahmananda, it's still material because it's still the same process. Because the happiness you want is coming from the day-to-day, process of gaining happiness. Understand? It's not a transcendental process. It's the same. Whether the kid gets his lolly or he gets his liberation, it's the same thing. When I get it, I'll be happy. Who will be experiencing? The soul. He thinks he's extinguished his existence. He hasn't. So it's still illusion. It's still atheism. Because why? It's not taking into consideration Krishna as a person. So here when it says, one should not mistake that these energies are the absolute truth. No, Krishna is the absolute truth, but he's non-different from his energies. But the energies on their own are not the absolute truth. Just as he is non-different from the energies are non-different from him. So you can't understand the energy without its connection to Krishna. Right? You can't be so shaktas, they see the energy separate from Krishna. So this is atheism. Right? Deists, they see Krishna as separate from his energies. That's atheism. Does that make sense? Right? Or that he's lost his personal, he's distributed everywhere personally. Then you get your pantheism. He's just everywhere and everything. Right? Or you get your impersonalism, that he's just everywhere, just the qualities there, but he is not involved. You know, but it's his qualities. Brahman is his potency. So when the devotee perceives the Brahman element distributed everywhere, it still is Krishna's Brahman element. It's not atheistic. So technically it's not impersonal. It's formless. We can use the term impersonal meaning not with form. But we don't mean the impersonal meaning that it's atheistic. You don't believe in the form. Impersonal means you don't think there's a form. Formless means just there isn't one. Does that make sense? Right? The smoke is formless, but it's still there. And it's coming from that pot over there. Right? So the formless is coming from form. This is the way it works. Does that make sense? Yes.
It sounds like you're really expanding or getting to the bottom of or whatever. Of what atheism really is, because atheism ultimately sounds like anything short of Svayam Bhagavan is going to be atheism, because we're going to start with me instead of Krishna.
Yeah, it is. That's bottom line. That's why these things are brought about, because the devotee will agree that atheism is bad, right? But what he'll classify as atheism generally isn't broad enough. If he's very simple, very pure at heart, his simple classification will work, because he will connect everything with Krishna. Right? Whatever he thinks about, he'll connect to Krishna. He may not think of much, but he'll connect it to Krishna. Right? If he's very sophisticated and he's connecting everything to Krishna, then we'll say this is very exemplary. And that way it'll be noted. The other person will be seen as simple, though he is just as noteworthy, but it may not be as seemingly exemplary, you know? Though it has to be pointed out, like the gopis, just they're girls. They think of boys, so they think of Krishna, so they're perfect. So for them, it doesn't matter. And Mother Yashoda just thinks of her child, that's all. But it's Krishna, so therefore it's perfect. So it's simple, but it's perfect. Like that. And then you have others. Ambarish Maharaj, he engages all the senses and everything in the Lord's service. So very developed, very sophisticated. You know, so we can take so much example there. But still, the bottom line is it's connected to Krishna. So then, if everything's going nicely, and that faith is there, that purity is there, so that everything you do is connected to Krishna, then you don't have to get so technical. Because it's straightforward, it's simple. Chant Hare Krishna, be happy, that's it. But when one starts bringing into Krishna consciousness all kinds of mundane, conditional rationalizations, and trying and actually claiming that they're Krishna consciousness, then you have to bring in this stuff. Because then you have to point out, actually, it's just straight upfront atheism. Like that. Because the real point is that why would we care for anything other than Krishna? The gopis don't care. Narad Muni comes and asks him for the dust from their feet to put on Krishna's head to get rid of his headache. They say, take it. And he says, hey, wait a minute, but aren't you worried about going to hell? Hey, we'll go to hell if it'll get rid of Krishna's headache. Because nobody else, the sages, all that, they won't do it, but they'll do it. Right? Going out and dancing with him in the middle of the night, you know, even though they have husbands, if that'll please Krishna, they're going to do it. You know what I'm saying? So actually, if we brought it down to the thing, you know, if it came up as a community or, you know, some kind of, you know, administrative discussion, would the gopis actually be allowed in this community? You know what I'm saying? Would they be allowed?
Are the gopis the only ones that aren't atheists? That's another question.
No, basically anybody who's connected. No, anybody, even Vaikuntha, everything like that. There'll be some connection, but it's still, they're seeing themselves in connection with Krishna. That's why Sakam Karma Yoga still isn't bad. Because you're starting from yourself, but you're seeing what is important to you in connection to Krishna. Though its motive is still yourself. So in other words, rasa is there. Theism is there, but it's not as high grade as if that mood of sacrifice was applied in a more, how you say, subtler way, right? Gross it is. I worked, I did my work, I was successful at my work, I got my results from my work, and now it is mine, but because I'm a devotee, I give it to Krishna. So in other words, the gross is there, so we'll call it sacrifice, and this person would be glorified, right? That's why it's not seen as a bad thing. So we don't situate ourselves higher and look down upon Sakam Karma Yoga, because from the position of, you know, the natural setting of, you know, sitting in the gutter for malechas and yavanas, Sakam Karma Yoga is very elevated. You know?
I was thinking also when Prabhupada started ISKCON, he rejected the suggestion that he call it International Society for God Consciousness. Perhaps for the same reasons you're saying, because you have all kinds of karma, gyan, yoga infecting so-called religion.
Yes, but we will, according to the situation, we can sit there and give a whole essay, just say God or the Supreme and not mention Krishna. Because because the persons aren't accepting even the concept of Supreme, so therefore the youth. As soon as they accept that, then we're going to take it to the next stage. In other words, if they don't accept step one, we'll talk about step one. You know, but once they're on step one, then we start talking about step two. You know, like that.
Prabhupada wanted to keep the target.
Yes, yes, of course. I'm saying as a society, who we are. But I'm saying in preaching, we might use that.
Right.
But as a society, no, because he's taking from the name from Krishna Bhavanamrita. Sangeet is coming from Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, the Krishna Bhavanamrita, the book. Is that just the whole consciousness about Krishna, the mood of Krishna consciousness? It's actually, he's coined that from basically just applying an English Vishnu Chakravarti statement. So that's where it's actually from. So it's not just a clever, being savvy to the modern language to come up with these acronyms that will very, very nicely stick in people's mind. It's that it's based on what the acharyas say and then applied into the modern.
Hmm.
You know, so it didn't start from us, it started from there.
Right, and so Prabhupada's actually being very generous, like when, you know, in the beginning when the reporters would ask him, why have you come? And he would say, I've come to teach you what you have forgot. What is that? God.
Yeah.
But actually he's come to teach a lot more than God.
Yeah. Because when we say God, because that's what it's about, that's the top, the subject is God. Everything else is basically, you know, subdivisions of that discussion. So
but we never knew Krishna.
No.
And then one morning walk, at Prajapati, our God brother was saying, why is it now we know, Prabhupada? This is L.A. morning walk. That a pure devotee has come to these western shores. You know, Prajapati is very dramatic. The prophet says, Prabhupada chuckles. He says, before now you were too sinful. So that was interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, it's causeless mercy, but there's some kind of...
They wouldn't take. But if one notices... to explain that point, we have to go back. Is that to continue with what we were discussing before, but just to show is that the anything short of, if it's connected to Krishna, it's useful. If it's not connected to Krishna, it actually has no use. Like that, because if we're talking about pure and alloyed devotional service, it just doesn't have any meaning. So when we try to apply things, morality, goodness, cleanliness, though generally we only use things that are known to our Judeo-Christian background, because cleanliness means it just looks tidy, and only some people will do that. But purity is not taken because it's not part of any upbringing, you know, that there's a civic sense. You know, so according to the sophistication, they might understand that, you know, maybe they keep the garbage cans on the side of the road nicely instead of just piling them up, or that they even, you know, go out there at the right time and don't let it pile up in the back. But they, much of the time it's used in the political sense, means in the social, you know, position of influence and, you know, the reactions of that. So it's actually political. So there we'll consider that is actually on the equal par of more important than devotional service. Oh, it's more important to be politically correct than to present ourselves who we are. That is actually just straight atheism. Like that. Because it's not coming, it's for our own perception of Krishna consciousness. That we're taking it that Krishna consciousness is there and its political clout against something that's politically correct. Krishna consciousness will lose. But it doesn't work like that. You know, I mean, the things that Prabhupada asked, you know, what is his name, Adi Keshava, to say in the court to the judges in front of the jury and everything about Krishna consciousness and about modern society were absolutely, totally politically incorrect. But because they were said at the appropriate time, the judge agreed with them. Like that. He just agreed with them. Because what we say is right, but you have to have that potency. That's what is being said here. But if it's not connected with the chit potency, it's atheism. But because you're not accept, why is it atheism? Not that you don't accept God, but you're not accepting God as who He actually is. Because it means you're basically most of your modern religions, they accept God and they'll say He's a person. But if you ask what does He look like, they'll actually say He's formless. And if you say that He's involved here, then if He's involved here, how could He let this happen? How could He let this, you know, the disease? How could this child die? How could, you know, why would God allow? So then, they have to not get angry with God and to maintain their faith, they have to deify Him. That God is beyond, therefore He has nothing to do with here. So here is actually managed by Satan. who technically around here is more powerful than God. So where is the actual religion here? You know what I'm saying? In other words, it's man-made. It's just made up by what works for actually very faithless people. Otherwise, what's the problem if someone has some special powers? It's God's creation. It's amazing. Trees eat with their feet. You know, if we went according to that, they never would have, you know, survived the Spanish Inquisition. That's weird. You know, they eat with their feet. You know, they'd all have been burnt at the stake. You know, in fact, actually, they do get burnt. That means they are the stake that gets burnt. Okay, you know, so they, like they, so, you know, I'm saying they just wouldn't have survived. So, all these different things, you know, your astrology, all these different metaphysical things that the people that so-called have faith can't accommodate is because they can't accommodate actually very much of God.
Is this why? I think you might be giving me some insight of why Kaviraj Goswami says, unless you accept Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, you're an atheist.
Yes.
Is this related to your line of thinking?
Yes, you could say that. Because that line means, in other words, him and his energy are non-different. So if he's taking that move.
It seems like such a radical statement, but actually it's theologically very sound.
Sound, yes, it is. No, it's very nice. So this position of discussing the philosophy is considered, you know, we see Prabhupada's talking about it. That's why now it means, even though it's written that the Bhaktivinoda Thakura's commentary is first, and then Prabhupada's points are first, then the commentary of Bhaktivinoda Thakura, and reversing it, so that one sees that, he understands the point, and then sees that Prabhupada talks like that. He just uses the language. It's not as obvious because it's very technical. The point can be easily understood, but the technical language might not be, so Prabhupada avoids it. But sometimes we'll think, oh, Prabhupada speaks very simple. It's constantly, you know, hundreds of God brothers, you know, going off the track, you know, say, oh, Prabhupada is simple and somebody else is going to be giving the lofty. No, all it is they'll use the technical language where Prabhupada won't. Mm-hmm. And then they call that's now, you know, fancy. You know, if I come in and go, yeah, you know, you put this stuff in here, and then you put all these kind of like seeds in here, and push them around and make sure they don't burn, and this and that. Does that mean I'm not teaching, you know, fancy cooking? You know, I talk about, yes, you put the clarified butter in, and then you're going to temper it, you know, so then when the things turn like this, then, now we're cooking. You know, that's all. So you like all the foppery, then yes, go somewhere else. You want it straight up front. Then Prabhupada's saying it. But what Prabhupada's saying is if you know all the fancy technical language, you can see it right there. Right? The energies are non-different, right? So it's there, it's obvious. He's saying, one should not wrong, the Supreme Lord is distributed everywhere, impersonally, right? So then, therefore, it's either it's just the impersonal Brahman or your pantheism. Right? You know, like that. Or that he does not, or he and that he loses personal existence.
Only someone of Prabhupada's stature could put it simply.
That's the point. That's the point, is that a master can put it simple. Yeah. An expert can only talk fancy language. Yes. That's all. You get the, means, it's like this, the person who's a master of the subject can explain his subject to a five-year-old and actually have the kid understand, because he knows what is essence. That essence, anybody can understand. Detail, that's according to your ability, because the detail gets more and more and more complex because you're having to deal with so much variety. So that, but the expert can deal with the variety, but he can't get to the essence.
I was just given a book in Vrindavan about Rasa Tattva, and the devotee, my godbrother, said he got so much illumination about Rasa Tattva from this book. And it was a nice book, but I read it, and Prabhupada already said it.
Yes, but it's just we're not able to see it.
In simple language. Yes. And this guy was saying, and as you say, technical, and also these kind of Indian English turns of phrases which sound kind of interesting, but it was already there in Srila Prabhupada.
Everything's there. When Prabhupada said everything's there, he means it.
Yeah.
But he'll present it in such a way, knowing us, that it won't create a trouble. Because the point is here, this is for, okay, you understand that this is there, so this is technically atheism. So now, what would be, now if you're dealing on the Madhyam platform, therefore you look into yourself and see, okay, I do certain things like that. I consider that, you know, hey, that person's not, you know, is not following these rules of cleanliness, therefore he's not situated properly devotionally. No, those things of cleanliness are there so that you maintain the purity, that it makes it easier to remember Krishna. The cleanliness doesn't stand on its own. But the point is the impure mind doesn't remember Krishna. Therefore, it becomes important. And it's just like food's not important. You know, hearing the name, four qualities of pastimes of Krishna is important, but you don't eat, you don't hear and chant. Therefore, the eating becomes important. And we may even get to the point of what you should eat and how much and when. So it looks like it becomes very important, but it's only important because it allows you to chant. You know? So that's the point. So as soon as we get off, but if this is overemphasized, then we'll be calling everybody atheist, and then the Salem witch trials come out and the Spanish Inquisition. So that's why you have to be very, very careful what you say, one, in English, because it can mean so many things, and two, what you say to those who come from a background that is not pious. Because pious people will tend to view others from a pious viewpoint. And then only if they prove themselves that they can't be dealt with piously, then they'll put them in a category of impious. Right? Like you see, it's like we just had examples of Yudhishthira with Bhima and Kuvera with Bhima, is that he's just gone up there and shown such attitude, gone into Kuvera's lake, and because he's a Kshatriya, he's not about to beg for flowers. You know, Draupadi wants the flowers. So then he goes up there and just, you know, starts making trouble and taking the flower. If that means killing a whole bunch of Rakshasas, hey, so be it. You know, so it's happening. So therefore, then it's brought up because he can act according to Shastra in a very proper way, even though this is very rash and immature behavior, Yudhishthira still deals with him as someone who can act in a proper way and talks to him in that way. If he responds, then it stays like that. If he doesn't respond, then you deal with him as an immature person. You know, but the generally the Western paradigm is as soon as somebody does something wrong, even if there's been a lifetime of good activity, they do one thing wrong, finish. Right, they're just a write-off. That's it. There's no even question and even talking with the person. You've heard it through the grapevine, and then you act upon it and make your decision. You know what I'm saying? Most bureaucratic meetings, before they start the meeting, you could put on the song, I Heard It Through the Grapevine, as that this is your main way of understanding and perceiving everything in the world. All evidence comes through the grapevine.
You know, Karna Parampara.
Yeah. So, therefore, you know, what has that got to do with Krishna consciousness? It has absolutely nothing to do with Krishna consciousness, other than they want to do some management for Krishna. That's connected. But their methodology that they're using is straight atheism. So if that can be engaged in Krishna service, why can't other aspects? You know what I'm saying? So it's not balanced. So these things are there so that you from yourself will look at. But if these, as soon as you hear it, oh yeah, that guy does that, oh yeah, that guy does that, then it's not supposed to be discussed in that assembly. That is, the assembly is I hear it, oh, okay, I do that, oh, I do this. Mm-hmm. Or if I'm not doing it, I can see it in others that I can help them get through it. Like that. The point is to become Krishna conscious, not to enact eternal damnation. Eternal damnation is a concept of atheists. Because they're saying that soul is not pure and can't be purified. The holy name, one chanting of the holy name can purify the whole universe, but not this person for what they did. You know what I'm saying? It's atheism. Absolutely. So generally the terms aren't used so much because it may not be appreciated or understood. Because it can be very, in the same way, the same quality can misuse this. Because these things are there for self-realization, that you're supposed to apply this on yourself. Only when you can apply it on yourself, then you can apply it on others. If you can't apply it on yourself, don't apply it on others because you will fail, because you'll be seeing it through your own mundane perception. And so you'll just, it's just another way to make trouble, right? Of course, it gets the bile moving, creates something interesting, something for the Karna Parampara, you know, but it doesn't actually solve any Krishna conscious. It doesn't affect Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness is just affected by doing Krishna conscious things. You know what I'm saying?
Atheism without God.
Yeah, without God. That's all. So that's what it means. It just means without God. So you see it in connection with God, it's theistic. You don't see it in connection with God, it's atheistic. Mm-hmm. Right? Does that make sense?
Yeah, and so we're still kind of, you know, we're just purifying out, or we're exorcising those atheist remnants
that's
in ourselves. Right.
So that's what this whole process is for. Like that. And this whole process is for that.
Thank you.
Okay. Your subtle way of showing that you have a question.
The tractor is atheistic, I can't hear.
Yes. It is. Okay, so having said that now, someone may protest. Is it not so that by creating the material worlds and performing other activities, the Supreme Personality of Godhead becomes affected by that activity, and his nature becomes different from what it was before? Does he not become enamored of what he has created? In the next sutra, the author refutes this misconception. Notice the literary element. In the next sutra, the author refutes this misconception. He's talking about himself, because he's written it.
Okay.
You know, it wasn't that a commentator, he's written that, but it's not going to say. In the next sutra, I refute this. He says the author refutes this. Sutta 8. Because he is supremely independent, he does not become changed, even though he is the creator. Right? Because the difficulty is that the living entity, Krishna makes this point in the Gita, that you, speaking to Arjuna, by you, anything you deal with, you become attached to. Because the jiva's nature is dependent. So as soon as it contacts something, it must connect to that to establish its identity and relationship. Right? But Krishna is independent. He doesn't have to do that. He's there before the creation, so why would the creation change anything? Right? The creation is based on his qualities, so therefore why would it change? He is everything, so whether it's manifest or not manifest, it's still just him. So he doesn't become affected. We do. Does that make sense? We're dependent. If you're dealing with something, I have a car, then I become the owner of the car. Therefore I have a relationship with the car. Right? So I wasn't before, now I am, but Krishna always was. So whether it's manifest or not, it's still, so there's no change, because the situation technically doesn't change. Right? We don't have a car, then we get a car, so it changed. Therefore we change. But Krishna, the car is always exists. Then he manifests or not manifested. But therefore nothing changes. He's changeless. Right? So therefore if he is changed, he's everything, therefore nothing actually changes. It's just a matter of whether you manifest. That manifestation is for rasa. In rasa, he'll make that adjustment. But that's in rasa. But in tattva, he doesn't change. Right. Is that something sad? Commentary by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Here the protester declares, quote, whoever creates the material world must of necessity become affected by passion and passionate attachment, hatred, and other like emotions, end quote. To this protest, the reply is that because he is supremely independent and can do whatever he wishes to do, by his own will the Lord remains peaceful and aloof from material passions. Therefore, even though he's the creator of the material world, the Lord is not affected by material passions. We is based on an identity. It means, in other words, as soul, we're feminine. So that means that if there's a desire, desire is in contact with the masculine, right? It means prayojana. To actually be manifest, it means it must be in contact with sambandha, which is the masculine element. Right? It means the field is there. You have to find an identity within that, a connection within that. Then desire can arise from that for interaction. That interaction will create the result, which is back to the prayojana. So prayojana is nourished because of sambandha. Right? Does that make sense? Right? And then once the prayojana is there, it goes back to sambandha. Right? means you identify that you are a grihastha, and so therefore we need facilities, so therefore we need a house, you get the house. So the house is your result, but having gotten the result, now that becomes part of your field of activities. It changes your identity. Now I am a householder, right? Before I was a wannabe householder, like that. Or, does that make sense? Or a mortgage holder.
A debtor.
A debtor, yes. Yes. Does that make sense? So then it changes, so it goes back there. But Krishna, he's independent, whatever he... So we're dependent upon these things to fulfill our needs. But Krishna, just whatever he wants, he gets. So he's not dependent upon anyone else for that. Does that make sense? Isn't that the old song? Whatever Krishna wants, Krishna gets. You know? Does that make sense? Okay. In the Sweta Sotara Upanishad, it is said, this is 6:19, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is perfect and complete. He is peaceful and flawless. He is never affected by the material energy. His actions are never material. He is peaceful. That means he's not affected by the mode of passion. He's not affected by the attainment in Prayojana. He's not affected that he has any insecurities, that he needs those things to establish identity. Does that make sense? He is everything. He is existence. So he doesn't have to establish his existence. He is existence, right? But the feminine aspect is dependent upon being connected to the masculine for identity, right? What you have is what you are, right? You live in a good neighborhood, you know, you have a nice car, you wear nice clothes, you have a fancy job, then you can put yourself in one category. You can identify, but it's based on what you have. Does that make sense? You don't have those things, you're in a different category. That's all. So it's you're dependent upon them. Krishna's not. He is existence. So all those things are existing on him. Their basis is on him. So they are dependent upon him, not him on them. Right? So that's where we go back before. He is the quality. Therefore, then his potency manifests the form to attain that quality. Does that make sense? So therefore, everything, all those things, that's the feminine aspect. So therefore, the feminine is dependent upon that. So we, as assistants, we don't know the Lord, we know the Lord through his potency. Therefore, as servant of the potency, we're serving the obvious to serve Krishna. Therefore, we take what we can see and use in Krishna's service. Does that make sense? Because that what we see is his potency that is fulfilling his quality. Does that make sense? So that's the you know, as we discussed before, this is how then the devotee sees the use of the form and the formless in connection with himself and using the Krishna service. And you break the material attachments. Okay. But, okay, so that was his point, is he's peaceful because he doesn't have to establish himself. You're not peaceful when you're worried about getting something or who you are or will you be successful. In other words, if you're worried about the identity or the accomplishment, right, the control or the attachment, you have a problem. But he doesn't, so therefore he's peaceful. He is never affected by the material energy. His actions are never material. In the Katha Upanishad 1:2:14, it is said, you can see the Supreme who stands beyond the material piety and impiety, beyond past and future. Please tell me about him. Right? Katha Upanishad means he's talking to someone who can see. Someone who knows the Lord says, you know the Lord, therefore please reveal him to me. Like that, who's beyond material piety, impiety, past and future. So whatever there is, he's beyond that. He's in control of it, but he's beyond. That's what I said, his energies are non-different, but they're not the absolute truth. So his energy here, still not. So even you have the spiritual realm. Okay, here's a good one. You have the spiritual realm. You can be in the spiritual realm and still not appreciate Krishna. Right? The demons come into Vrindavan. They don't appreciate Krishna. They're in the spiritual world. Right? They're in Braja Vrindavan. We're all trying to get there. They're already there. Right? But their being there, they're atheistic. They don't see it in connection with Krishna. Right? There, that, like, say, that example, okay, most of the demons just see Krishna and they're not trying to enjoy Vrindavan, but we see some of them are. Right? Shankachuta comes there and goes, hey, check it out. Hey, check out the babes. You know, so like that. So he's trying to enjoy the facilities of the spiritual world. You understand? So therefore, those persons aren't allowed to be there. So still, he's different from his potency, though non-different. So just because you can see that doesn't mean that it's enough. That's why until it comes down to it's Krishna, then it doesn't matter, because the spiritual world without Krishna will manifest to us as Maya. Does that make sense? We're sitting here, Lord Chaitanya and his eternal associates are always doing, you know, their Navadvip Sankirtan pastimes here. It's always going on. What do we see? Why? Because of that, not connecting it to Krishna. You connect it to Krishna, you start to perceive it. Does that make sense? It's that simple. So, therefore, one is not in the spiritual world if that's his, you know, avowed, you know, perspective. One take is here. Then the Lord's kindness, then his realm manifests here so that we can see, we can take part, we can become inspired. That makes sense. So, therefore, this idea also that when Prabhupada says, you know, you fall from the spiritual realm, you know, in the Lord's pastimes, to say that that can't happen, that's also atheism, right? Because these demons are doing it all the time. So why can't other souls? Only they can do it. You know what I'm saying? Only they can be in the spiritual world and be envious and jealous. That's the whole thing. You can't be envious of the spiritual world. Who said? No, those who are envious aren't allowed to stay there. Right? The demon is kicked out quite quickly. Right? So they can't stay there. But it doesn't mean it can't be there. It's a simply of consciousness. It's a perception. You see it in connection with Krishna. In a favorable way, that's devotional service, so there's no enviousness. You see in connection with Krishna, not favorable, right? Then it is not devotional service. You don't even see it in connection with Krishna, doesn't matter. You know, Kamsa sees Krishna. He sees everything in connection with Krishna. Anything reminds him of Krishna, but it's not favorable. So still it's not devotional service. Right? Shankachuta doesn't even see Balaram as somebody special. He just walks in and says, hey, check this out. Right? So either way, it's not devotional. It's atheistic. Does that make sense? So therefore, the position is this, we are people, and the same person who you are is whose same person is going to go back to Godhead. You're just going to give up all your conditioned perspective. And you're going to take up the devotional. But the same soul is going to go. Not that there's some magic and poof, you become somebody else. It's not the externals that change. It's not that, oh, if I have the spiritual body, everything will be fine. No, it's your mentality generates the spiritual or material body. Like that. So it's up to us. That's why self-realization, don't worry about the next guy. Oh, until the community becomes Krishna conscious, how can I be inspired? Has nothing to do with that. You know, as we said yesterday, Prahlad Maharaj, if he said that, where would he be? Right? He had nobody else. Yes?
Talking about going back to the spiritual world, it's the same soul. It seems like you make it really real. Like, it's just like going to a new country, learning a new language.
That's what it is.
So we come to a new, we have to really integrate. We have to learn Bengali, so forth. So to go to Braj, does that mean
we have to learn the etiquette? You have to learn the language. The point about Braj is the mentality. You know, cows aren't necessarily talking Sanskrit or Braj, you know, I'm saying. So it's the language of devotion, that devotional attitude, that's what makes Braja. Right? Krishna is Vishai, the devotees are Ashray. He is the unlimited ocean of rasa. Anything could be there. So depending upon the devotee, they draw from Krishna that mood. Right? And then he reciprocates with that devotee's mood. And that's what you manifest your pastime. So Braja is then what? It's one of manifestations that Krishna can manifest. He can manifest that, Mathura, Dwarka, Ayodhya, Vaikuntha. All that is there. But because the devotees in Braja see him in that way, that's how they want to appreciate him and worship him and serve him. Right? Is in that mood. Therefore, then Braja is manifest. Does that make sense? So the whole thing is simply the mood. It's not that because you have these nice trees or this or that. That's what makes it Braja. Right? Because otherwise, is it Braja for, you know, Aristasura? No, it's just another village where this guy is giving trouble to his best friend. You know what I'm saying? That's all. It's just another village. And so Braj, the highest realm in the cosmic creation, can appear just as another village. In fact, not even anything special. You know what I'm saying? Or it can appear as the highest, you know, realm of existence. It's all in the mentality of who perceives it. But it exists on its own, so it's not depending upon our mentality. That would be atheistic. Oh, when I'm Krishna Khan, then Braj manifests. No, Braj is always manifest. When I'm Krishna Khan, I can see it. Otherwise, that would be Buddhism, because I think it happens. You know what I'm saying? So all these things, we have to be very, very careful. They're very subtle aspects. So it's real. We just have to develop that understanding. We go back to Godhead. We don't understand. Because if you have that mentality, you're already back to Godhead. You don't have to, it's not time, it's not another place. You know, it said, wherever Lord Chaitanya was, that's Vrindavan. Wherever his devotee is, that's Vrindavan. So that's the actual point. So that's why self-realization. You take all these things, apply it to yourself. You can, of course, you can apply it to all your friends and neighbors and, you know, the management and the whole world. And if Obama did this, then, you know, everything would be nice, you know. And we get so many things we could do. But the main point is that it's a matter of what are we going to do with it? Because depending on what we're going to do with it, makes it, will we be able to use it to help anybody else with it? Right? If you can't use it, you won't be able to let someone else use it. You know, other than saying, I know it's there, I'm not able to use it, but if you go to this person, they can tell you what to do, and then it'll, you know. So at least you can be, you know, make a connection, be a Vartna Pradarshak Guru. Does that make sense?
Is it mystical?
But it's very real. Mystical is real. Mystical, in our perception, has ignorance to it. We don't understand why it works. But here we're taking the mystical and scientifically explaining how it functions. So mystical meaning that it's subtle, it's these things like that. But so it's a science. So the devotional process is very scientific. It works very straightforward, very clearly. But we just have to have that faith and understanding. Then it will work. You know what I'm saying? So if we're simple, you just need that simple understanding. You're very sophisticated, then you have to have a sophisticated understanding. Otherwise, for the sophisticated people, just say, oh, it doesn't matter, keep it simple. Like, very nice, but then why is it the rest of the life is not simple? And what does that got to do with Krishna? So that's all mine. And then, you know, and then they'll be, oh, well, just being practical. But that your practicalness is still Maya. So the point is, the sense that Krishna is everywhere, that means your Maya is also Krishna. But you're refusing to recognize Krishna in it. Therefore, you're, you know, staying in Maya. So your sophistication is only putting you more in Maya. Not you're not improving. You're not better. Just because you decided, okay, I got desires, I move out of the temple, I go get a job, I'm being honest. No, you're not honest. You're still cheating. Until you accept that my needs are in connection with, I have to see them in connection with Krishna, you're still cheating. So maybe the person in the temple you're claiming is not honest and is cheating, is a hypocrite, is a small hypocrite, but the person who's claiming that is a very big hypocrite. You know what I'm saying? So because the whole thing is where does that come from? Who decides that's what a hypocrite is? Who said? If it's not God, then you're in the wrong boat. You're in the wrong party. Because then it's come from you. And if it's come from you, what's the use of it? What's the value of it? It has no value. If you say every individual is special, yes, but what's the specialness? It's Krishna. Because when the body's dead, where is that specialness? So that specialness still was Krishna. So anything you consider that's good, useful, happening, whatever it is, it's Krishna. Any angle you take it, it's Krishna. That's why we have, it's confusing, because as you move it, Krishna says he is the sacrifice itself, right? So that's the whole concept of this giving up something for others, but it's still in connection with Krishna. He is the person performing the sacrifice, the hotri, right? So it means the activity is being done, so the abhideya is that. He is the yajama, the person who is sponsoring it. Right, that person is getting it to be done, though they are doing nothing other than giving their money or their time. That surrender is there. Right, so that way you're dependent upon the priest to get it done. So the yajamans in the feminine principle, the hotris in the masculine. Right, so therefore the yajaman respects the priest, but at the same time, as the priest only has that service because the yajaman's doing the yajna and presiding the facility. Therefore, he's dependent upon the yajama. Therefore, the hotri, even though he's in the senior position, as far as the ritual goes, he's still respectful to the yajama. You know, the implements are Krishna. You know, the chant is Krishna. So that means that, you know, who's the masculine, who's the feminine? You can take them and switch them. That's why devotees, oh, it's contradictory. You could say it this way, then you could say it that way. Therefore, I'm not going to believe in it. But everything's like that. The bus, oh, it saved me, you know. I was late to work and it came on time, you know. I didn't have to wait 15 minutes for the next one. It saved me. And then you go down the road and have an accident. The bus can save you, the bus can kill you. You know, or it comes on time, you're saved, it comes late, you know, you have a problem. So I'm saying everything can be done. Why? Because it's all Krishna, because it's non-dual. The same points that are being made here is working right now in everything in your life. Everything in your life. You know? Is the bead bag the masculine and the beads are the feminine? Or is the beads the masculine and the bead bags the feminine? Depending upon the perspective. But the point is whatever the perspective, the masculine and feminine are always there. That means that whatever the perspective, God is always there. And his energies is always there. And whatever it is, you're servant of whichever one is the energy. You know what I'm saying? So if the bead bag is the energy, you better keep it clean. You know? Like that. If the beads are the energy, then you better have your fingers on and be chanting. So in any case, we always end up as the servant of the Lord's potency, serving him. It doesn't matter which way you look at it. So every way you look at it. So every perspective is right as long as you're seeing Krishna in it. It doesn't matter. It can have unlimited perspectives, right? In Vrindavan, there's unlimited people there. Each has a different perspective, and they're all right. Right? But there's still a hierarchy, so there's etiquette. You know what I'm saying? The Karmakandi is right compared to the sinful person, because he's pious. But compared to the jnani, he's junior. Right, but the jnani is junior to the devotee. Right? So there's all, that means all the perspectives have a right aspect to it if you understand how it works, how Krishna is in everything. Does that make sense? That answer? Last point, then, because we're over time. So what's your point, then what?
Well, it's just... this point of everything turning on paradox, because Krishna's behind it, it's paradoxical to us. But, I mean, it is a paradox, but Krishna's behind it.
That's why the chit potency. You have that, then it's not paradoxical.
Yeah. But I was thinking of, in Hayagriva's book, Vrindavan Days, he reported that he once went to Prabhupada early on when they were there. And he was just aghast at the state of Vrindavan. It appeared to be so polluted and this and that. And Prabhupada did not even brand him externally that. He just didn't, he scolded him for seeing Vrindavan in that way. Yeah. Was that because, even if it, on some level it was true, it was blocking Hayagriva's accessing Vrindavan so much?
Actually, it'll go beyond that, because Vrindavan can't be impure. Mm-hmm. That's the external nature, because wherever the Lord is, then all His potencies are present. So the external aspect, though it's not the prominent, that's looking dirty. Because it's just a manifestation on the mundane. But Vrindavan's not, so it's not just, oh, he's saying that just for that. That may be a way of presentation, but in actuality it can't be. Just like there was one temple, I think it was up in Assam or Siliguri or someplace there. And somebody from the East India Company came into this temple, you know, with his shoes on and that, being, you know, arrogant as were or are. I think it would be non-different, but since it's an old story, we'll say were. And so then the pujaris were going behind him and wiping the floor as he'd walk. So he got very insulted, you know, you're saying that I'm impure and clean. So he went back, got his army, came, and stationed themselves, you know, around the temple. And with the cannons, they completely destroyed the temple, including the deity, everything. So then one devotee was very surprised at this, and mentioned to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he says, how could they do this? You know, because there's Krishna there. How could they destroy the temple and destroy the deity? And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, they didn't destroy the deity. They destroyed your concept of the deity. Because Krishna is always there. It's just he manifests. Mm-hmm. Prabhupada says there's a deity on every continent.
So Prabhupada was destroying Hayagriva's concept of Vrindavan.
Yeah. In other words, yeah. He had the wrong concept of Vrindavan. Vrindavan's not pure. But if people see this as Vrindavan and appreciate that, why would they be making such a mess? So then you're basing it on Vrindavan. It's not the proper way of appreciating and serving Vrindavan to deal with it in this way. But to say that the Dham is dirty and polluted, the Dham's never dirty and polluted. It can't be. You could do whatever you want. It still can't be. Like that. Yeah, so it's this conception like that. So that's why it would be sometimes not. But we see there's a consistency with this. Then all things all contradictions can be consistently explained.
I thought of an interesting same point in 26 Second Avenue. Hayagriva says he was Howard. He was at the window of the storefront. He was looking out at all the debris and the degradation of the avenue. And he said, Swamiji, at that time, came up behind him, read his mind, put his hand on his shoulder and said, one day you will see all this is Vaikuntha.
Yeah.
26 Second Avenue.
Yeah.
So Prabhupada had the vision, not just for...
Everything.
Everything.
It means the material world is actually... means all these things exist, but it exists as Krishna's inferior energy. But material is a concept of the conditioned jiva. Because material means you don't see it in connection with Krishna. If it's a connection with Krishna, then it's Vaikuntha. The difference is it may be in an inferior manifestation of Vaikuntha, but it's Vaikuntha. You know? Okay.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhakti Vrinda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Premanandi.
I wanted to talk it before I leave, but I think Chris has got me pretty much hooked in with the Institute, doing stuff, you know, the Mayapur Institute, still.
Oh, okay, cool.
You know, writing, teaching, studying. And, but I'm definitely coming to class when I come back. Do you do email or anything?
I don't so much.
Yeah, that's probably smart.
Well, it's smart, but also just, you know, every time you sit down, it's not connected, or it doesn't work, or the computer doesn't respond, so... You know,
what's a good way for me just to keep in touch with what you're doing here? When I'm in Hawaii, or
I would say Shanti's wife.
Shanti Paran.
Yeah.
Who's that?
I think that's her stage name.
Where? Oh, okay.
Like that.
Okay.
So while he's not here, she's seeing, so she could tell you what you mean. Because then they're in contact with going here in the classes and everything like that. Now we're going through the analytical study of Isha Upanishad.
Before it was?
The chronological.
Okay.
So now it's the analytical.
This is Bhakti Shastri. This is...
Some will say that.
Ultimate Bhakti Shastri.
Some will appreciate that enough. It's just a different form. The VTE was designed for devotees who are used to the Western academic.